No boy had ever failed an inspection. For this, Jay felt no anxiety as the steel door creaked open before him, as the faces of the parenthood looked out, as the inspectors stood against the far wall, each with a hand on the magnifying glasses hooked to their belts. Jay had done this every morning of his life, every morning he could remember. And despite Q's theories on likelihoods and probabilities, his idea that eventually someone must fail in order to justify a lifetime of inspections, Jay felt no doubt, no dread, no fear. "Enter, Jay," Collins called. Collins, the stuffiest, oldest, burliest inspector of all. The man smelled of old textbooks. His belly hung so far over his belt, Dee joked he kept an alphabet boy hidden in there. "That's where we come from," Dee had said. But all the alphabet boys knew they came from the orchard, having grown on the living trees. "Come on then," Colin said. It was a wonder any words at all made it through the man's bushy brown mustache. Jay knew the inspector did not speak for himself. DAD must have given the signal it was time to begin. To the snickers of LD and Q behind him, Jay entered and removed his pajamas, folding them and placing them in a neat pile upon the steel end table by the checkup room door. As the door was closing behind Jay, Dee called, "Shoulda showered, Jay." And Jay pointed at him, the alphabet boy's gesture that meant, "You're a jerk, brother." The door locked into place, his clothes nicely piled, Jay stepped to the pair of rubber footprints on the cold steel floor. Winter was close, arriving perhaps as soon as tomorrow. And while Jay enjoyed the effigy meat as much as his brothers, he liked to keep the cold outside. The checkup room was as frigid as any he knew in the turret. "Turn," Inspector Collins said. He and Jeffrey observed from a distance, always the first step of the morning's inspection. The dogs breathed heavy behind the glass door beyond the men. Jay turned to his left. He heard the leather of DAD's red jacket stretching. The man, as of yet out of sight, must have crossed his arms or sat back in his chair. Winter outside the turret could be brutal. Some years were worse than others. Jay, nearing his 13th birthday along with his 23 brothers, had experienced 12 winters. And with each one, Professor Gulch warned the boys about depression, the sense of loneliness that came from being stuck inside a 10-story tower, when the orchard and the yard froze over, when even the pines looked too cold to survive. Hysteria, Jay thought. He shook his head, trying to roll the idea out his ear. It was a word he didn't like anywhere inside his head, as if the four syllables had the same properties as rots and moldus, V's and placosaurs, the very diseases the inspector searched him for now. "Turn," Collins again, his gruff voice part and parcel of the checkup room, like the sound of clacking dishes in the cafeteria, or the choral voices of his brothers in the body hall. "Cold," Jay said, turning his back to the inspectors, facing now the locked door. It was often chilly in the checkup room. Unseen breezes, as if the solid steel walls were only an illusion, and the distorted reflections, unstable drawings on the wind. Jay imagined a slit somewhere, a crack in those walls, allowing pre-winter inside. It was similar, Jay thought, to the veterinarian's office in Lawrence Luxley's book Dogs and Dog Days. The brilliant leisure writer had described the poor animal's reaction so well. Unwelcoming, cold, it was as though Dr. Grand had intentionally made it so, so that the dogs understood the severity of their visits. And still, despite the inhospitable environs, the dogs understood that the room was good for them, that their lives depended on these regular visits. Some of them were even able to suppress their basest instincts, the ones that told them to run. Jay had memorized all of Lawrence Luxley's books. Many of the alphabet boys had. "Turn," Jay did as he was told. Always had. The routine of the inspections was as ingrained in his being as chewing before swallowing. And with his third turn, he faced D.A.D. A thrill ran through him, as it always had, 12 years running, to see D.A.D. for the first time in the day. The bright red jacket and pants were like a warm fire in the cold checkup room. Are the sun coming up? Did you sleep well, Jay? D.A.D.'s voice. Always direct, always athletic. Jay wasn't the only alphabet boy who equated the man's voice with strength, comfort, security, knowledge.